We're going to turn to Mark's Gospel for our reading this morning, Mark chapter 4, and we read from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, that is Jesus, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn back to Mark 4. And as we do, let's pray that God would help us. Heavenly Father, your hands made us and formed us. Give us understanding to learn your commands. We need your help to see clearly who Jesus is. So please would you grant us that help now by your Holy Spirit, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in most ancient cultures, there was wide agreement that the waters, the seas, the oceans were an uncontrollable force, which only a higher power, only God, could command. And even though this morning we're a long way from those days of ancient culture, the reality that nobody can control the sea hasn't changed. If you've been down there recently, that's why the path on the front, on the mumbles, looks like a building site, because they're building flood defences there because of the power of the sea. There's the infamous story of the Danish king, Canute, who was also king of England at the start of the 11th century, and he knew that he wasn't divine, and yet there were those around him who were treating him as if he was God. And so he went down to the seashore and he stood there and quite obviously proved as the waters came in that he didn't have the power to stop the waves of the sea from coming in again and again. He knew that he wasn't God and he couldn't stop the sea. And apparently he said, "Let all the world know that the power of kings is empty and worthless, and there is no king worthy of the name save him by whose will heaven, earth, and the sea obey eternal laws." He was a wise man. He knew what he was not. And this morning, as we conclude Mark 4, we are entering into a section now in this gospel where we find three miracles that Jesus did that shows us very clearly the authority of Jesus, that which he has over the greatest powers that you can find in this world. This is deliberate from Mark, because if you've been following with us in recent weeks, the parables that Jesus have told us, have described to us something of the power of the kingdom of God. And now we read how that power is displayed in historical, factual situations in the life of Jesus. And all of this is contributing to the whole point of Mark's account in the first place. We must often remind ourselves that the major theme of this book is that we are really clear on who Jesus Christ is. From the first verse of this book, Mark has been setting out his stall, wanting us to know who Jesus revealed himself to be through the things that he said and the things that he did. Who is Jesus? That's the question that we asked ourselves when we began our series in this gospel. And again, Mark is drawing us into the life of Jesus that we would all ask ourselves this question, a question that we actually find in our passage this morning in the words of the disciples. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And in these verses this morning, as Jesus calms the storm, and in the miracles we'll see in the future weeks, we see that there is really only one conclusion about Jesus, that he is who Mark set out at the beginning. He is good news. He is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior. He is the King, and he reigns over all. And so as we hear the events of this storm being stilled this morning, I want to draw your attention to three ways we see the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus over nature in particular this morning. That he is the ruler of all, that he is always in control, and nothing will ever catch him off guard. And I want us to see these three occasions that Jesus speaks in these verses. Three times Jesus says something, and each time we see his sovereign power and authority on display. And it is that, I trust, that will make all of us ask with the disciples, well, who is this? Who is this? That it will make those of us who aren't yet sure, we've not made up our mind, we're not trusting in Jesus yet, to seriously consider who he is, to realize that he can be trusted with your life because of his immense power, that you will begin to know a new life as you follow him. And for those of us this morning who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, that you'll be encouraged as you're reminded of who your Savior is, that you might truly give your praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, that you would trust him with your life again in this week to come. And so firstly then, in verses 35 to 37, let's see the authority of Jesus as Jesus leads us into storms. Jesus leads us into storms. You might think that's a bit of a strange thing to say. Maybe it's something that you're not even that keen to hear. But look with me here and actually see that this is a great comfort to every follower of Jesus this morning, because it reminds us that there's nothing in this world that is random. The Lord Jesus is always with his people, and sometimes he leads us into storms. Take a look at verse 35, where Jesus does exactly this. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Do you see there where the plan comes from to cross the lake? It comes from Jesus, doesn't it? He says, let's go over to the other side. It's his initiative. It's his plan. And the disciples don't think anything of it. They were seasoned fishermen who knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. For them, crossing the lake was just like you taking your daily commute to work or taking the usual route that you do to the shops. You almost do it without thinking, don't you? You know where you're going. You don't think about the route. You just jump in the car and off you go. That's what it would have been like for these fishermen. But they had no idea what was about to happen. And as we'll see, they also didn't yet have that much understanding of who Jesus was. And yet, all that said, they do as Jesus says. They obey him. They go along with Jesus' purposes. But while they start out to cross the lake, there is a furious squall that comes on them. Squall is a huge storm that comes and engulfs the lake, something that's quite common in that part of the world. And the word in the original language can even translate as hurricane. And those are things that we don't experience much of at all in this country, but we sometimes see the effects of them on our news screens and online, and they are destructive, aren't they? They can be so violently damaging. And that's what's going on here. The waves are coming over the side of the boat. It's nearly going under. And you can imagine the disciples furiously trying to bail water out of the boat as it filled up quicker than they could empty it. And if toughened fishermen were reacting like this, well, then it really must have been quite bad. And so before we go any further and see how this storm was dealt with, we find an incredibly important biblical principle for all of the Christian life. This is really important for us, because while it is true that we sometimes find ourselves in difficulty because of our own sin and our own foolishness, there are times when the Lord himself will lead us into difficulties. That's not easy to understand. Sometimes Jesus will lead us into a storm. That's what he does here with these disciples, isn't it? He says to them, let's cross the lake. And he knows what is to come, but he doesn't postpone until tomorrow. No, he still goes, because with all of his authority, he has greater purposes, which can sometimes involve being led into a storm. That picture is quite different to what some will choose to paint of the Christian life. There are many people out there claiming to be telling us that the Bible says if you become a Christian, then life will be easy. You will have health, you will have wealth, you won't have any problems. But they're not telling you the truth, friends. Here we see that Jesus didn't necessarily always solve the disciples' problems. He didn't always protect them from trials and perplexing situations. Actually, these verses tell us something, that actually he sometimes very deliberately leads them into them. Don't miss that. This was Jesus' suggestion to go across the lake, knowing what was to come. And in his sovereign authority, he knew that that's what had to happen. That was the right thing to do. It's worth us remembering that what we're reading here in Mark's Gospel is an eyewitness account that in all likelihood would have come from Peter the disciple. So many eyewitness details, even just in these few small verses. The time of day, the presence of the other boats, Jesus sleeping on a cushion, and all that was said as well. But when we think that later on in the New Testament, we read Peter's first letter, where he was writing to scattered believers in what is now Turkey, and they were facing persecution, and he encouraged them with these words in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Peter had begun to learn the lesson that the Lord sometimes leads his people through dark valleys and difficult circumstances. Peter was writing to those who were being persecuted. They were dying for their faith, and there are still people dying across the world every day. Today, someone will die in the world because they are a Christian. We might not have that in this country, but nevertheless, when we suffer, when we go through trials, Peter knew, well, that shouldn't surprise us, because sometimes the Lord is leading us into them, in his purposes. But as I'm saying these things, you might be thinking one big question. Why? Why? Why would the Lord do this? Maybe you feel like you are going through a storm in your life this morning. You're in the middle of a swirling hurricane, it feels like, in life, at home, with your family, or at work, or you've had some news about your health or about your future finances, and you feel like you're in the middle of a storm with what is to come, and you're thinking, well, why would the Lord lead me this way? That's a good question. And this passage answers that question for us in a wonderfully encouraging way. Because having seen that Jesus leads us into storms, secondly, let's see the authority of Jesus as Jesus stills the storms. Jesus stills the storms in verses 38 and 39. And he does that from the starting point of sleeping on a cushion. That's where he was, in the stern asleep, at peace, while chaos surrounds him. We might not realize, or maybe we forget, that this was actually an open boat. It wasn't a modern-day trawler. It wasn't a soundproof luxury yacht. And yet Jesus is sleeping on while there's this raging storm going on around him. The boat is threatening to sink, and the disciples wake him and ask, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They think they're drowning, perishing. But Jesus knows that they aren't, even though it doesn't look promising, as the waves crash over the side of the boat. And this question that they ask reveals so much about their hearts, about the disciples' attitude. That question, "Teacher, don't you care?" That shows us that they don't yet truly understand who Jesus is or why he has come. How is that? Because the exact reason he was with them there on the boat, the very reason he was in the world at all, the precise reason he was on his way to die on the cross of Calvary in their place, was because he cared for them. He cared for them deeply. He cares deeply for you this morning. Of course Jesus cares. That is why he came. And yet, this question shows us that the disciples had lost faith in his loving concern for them. And as a result, they had allowed the storm to come between them and the assurance of Jesus' love and care for them. And that can be true for us, can't it? When storms come our way, when what seems like a whirlwind is blowing through our lives and we can't make sense of it all, we can be tempted to doubt the love of the Lord Jesus towards us. In the words of Sinclair Ferguson, we allow our faith to be diverted from its anchor in the cross and lose our moorings in the storms of life. We have so little faith. They doubted Jesus' care for them. And they doubt his word too, don't they? Because remember, he has said about going to the other side of the lake, and yet now it seems they have forgotten what Jesus had said. They were not clinging on to the promise of God's word. They had forgotten the assurance that they would safely reach the other side. That all comes through in this question that they ask. They are panicked, they are scared, they are doubting. And maybe those are ways that you would describe yourself to some extent this morning. And yet you see the great authority and power of the Lord Jesus in verse 39 as he almost casually responds to all that's going on around him. As he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Jesus stills the storm, just like that. He doesn't have to prepare himself or focus his energies or even pray. He simply says, "Quiet, be still." And all is calm. Everything is quiet and still because of the authoritative word of Jesus. This is who Jesus is, the one with all power over all creation, just like in the opening verses of Genesis, which tell us of the beginning of our world. Here now in Mark's gospel, in the same way, Jesus, the Lord, brings order from chaos. Jesus has authority over nature, and that is because he really is God in the flesh. And what we miss here in our English translations is that the rebuking of the wind, that is the exact same word for the rebuking of evil spirits. We've seen something of that already back in chapter 1. And so this rebuking, this word means to be muzzled. It's the same word here as when that evil spirit was muzzled in chapter 1. And so the storm is muzzled. Jesus speaks to the storm as you would speak to your dog when you wanted to do something. And here again, as in chapter 1, the dog, so to speak, obeys. It has to listen, which is foreshadowing what we're going to see as we go into chapter 5. And what we've come to see, along with what we're seeing now, is that Jesus is doing what only God can do. And that's because Jesus really is God. Jesus brings peace out of disorder. He brings order out of chaos. He speaks just like you would to an unruly child. Be still and stay still. And this storm is like a compliant child. See here how the wind died down and it was completely calm. It was tranquil. It was calm. Not a ripple could be seen in the water. I wonder, have you ever seen water like that? The water was so smooth, like glass, with no waves at all. A handful of times this would happen to the sea when we were in Aberystwyth as students, and usually it would come with a heavy fog as well, because there was no wind at all. It was dead still. And that actually made it feel quite eerie and quiet, because there was always wind in Aberystwyth. And the water just sat there, quietly lapping at the shore. Or maybe you've been at a lake like that, and it's so still that you can see your reflection in it, or you can see the reflection of the mountains in the water as you take a photo. And so just think about the reality of this. The wind dies down. Which, if you're a real skeptic, you could say, well, maybe that's just a coincidence. But having lived by the sea for 4 years, we came to realize that even when the storm ends and the winds die down, well, the waves actually keep coming for a few hours afterwards. But here, as Jesus says, quiet, be still, the wind stops and the water goes dead calm. Unlike King Canute, who I mentioned at the beginning, Jesus is able to do what only God can do. He simply says, be still. And in so doing, he is clearly demonstrating that he doesn't just have power, but that he is power itself. That's a huge claim, isn't it? I wonder what you make of that this morning. Because there's only two options, friend. One is that you believe you're here by accident and the result of blind and violent forces of nature. And when you die, you'll turn to dust. And when the sun runs out of energy and there's nobody left alive to remember you, well, then whether you were a cruel person in your life or a loving person, it really makes no lasting difference in the end. That's one option. Would you really believe that, friend, if you're being consistent? But the other option is that if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is the Lord of the storm, then no matter what is going on around us or in your life, you will find that actually Jesus makes life make sense. Because you will find in the Lord Jesus that him providing all of the rest and all of the power that you and I ever need. He will be all that you need. When the storms come, because they do come, you'll know the one who has the power to beat the storm, because he is the one who ultimately broke the power of evil and sin on the cross and through his resurrection from the dead. He is the one who has died for all of our failings. And as we trust in him, we can know wonderful forgiveness and deep-seated peace no matter our circumstances. That's something that's worth exploring, friend, isn't it? It's something which this historical account leads us to consider, because thirdly this morning, in verses 40 to 41, I want us to see that Jesus is greater than any storm. Jesus is greater than any storm. Remember in this passage there are these three occasions when Jesus is speaking, and every time he speaks we're seeing his authority. And we've seen that with authority he led the disciples out onto the lake. He didn't know what he was doing. And then with authority, he's rebuked the storm and it was still. And now thirdly, he speaks again to the disciples with authority, making the point with a question that they might begin to see why they have gone through this whole episode. Look with me at verse 40. No doubt the noise of the raging wind was still ringing in their ears, the muscles tense from all of the rocking of the boat. But all is quiet and calm, and Jesus looks at them and says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Clearly, the disciples still don't quite get it yet. You'd think that by now, given all that they've seen him do so far, they would know there's nothing to fear when Jesus is with them. But there's still a lot to learn. They do not yet fully understand Jesus, and they won't fully understand him until the cross and the empty tomb. But notice, Jesus isn't questioning their lack of knowledge. He knows they don't know everything yet, but he questions their fear. Why are you afraid? A question which means, why have you lost heart? The threat to them and their faith wasn't from a lack of knowledge, but from doubt and fear as they lose heart in who Jesus is. And yet as this episode is drawing towards a close, there's still a doorway to faith. Look at the reaction of the disciples in verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Strangely, they are more afraid now, after the storm had been calmed, than they were right in the middle of it. They're unsettled. They are terrified, we're told here. And it leads them to ask, well, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? And here again, we are being confronted with the most important question in all the world. I wonder how you answer this question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you this morning, friend? As far as you see it this morning, what is your view of the one who calms the storm, who has authority over nature, who reigns over the mountains and the sea? Do you believe in who he says he is? Or do you have little care for who this Jesus is? You can't remain neutral in this. You either believe in him or you don't. And when we look at the big picture of the Bible, it's clear what all of this is pointing us to this morning in these verses of the storm being calmed. As already mentioned, God is described from the beginning as the one who brings order out of chaos, at creation, as the Almighty God brings life out of nothing. But as we go on through the scriptures, we see his power over nature, over the waters of the Red Sea in Exodus, the River Jordan in Joshua, then through the Psalms like 46 and 65 and 89, each in its own way encourages the people of God. There's no need to fear. Why? Because he is the one who governs and directs all the forces of the world. He is the one in sovereign control of it all. And of course, there are other examples in the Psalms, and we see similarly in the book of Jonah, the great power and authority of the Lord over this world as a storm is stilled, as Jonah unsuccessfully tries to run away from Nineveh. And so these disciples who would have been there on the boat, the first readers, don't forget, these guys, they were Jewish. These were the people to whom Christ first came. For them, they are God, the Creator. He's the only one who can calm the wild seas, because he's the God who can quash the chaos. And now here, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is doing what only God the Creator can do. He speaks to the creation and literally puts it in its place. And there's no mistaking it, really. The identity of the Lord Jesus couldn't be made much clearer. In the darkness, in the chaos of a storm on the lake, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples as the one true living God, that he really is God in the flesh. For a short moment, they see something of the majesty and the power and the glory of Jesus. They saw with their eyes his lordship over nature, and it left them with this question, which if they could answer in faith, with the truth, then for time and eternity, their lives would be changed forever. This account of Jesus stilling the storm and showing us Jesus' authority over nature it's sometimes applied to us by saying that as Jesus stilled the storm in nature, he can also still the storm in our hearts and in our lives as well. And that is absolutely right. Remember, Jesus, he suggested this journey. He knew the storm was coming, but he brought them through it. And as Mark's first readers faced persecution, they even faced death for their faith in Jesus, they needed to know that the storm, it rages and chaos seems to reign, and yet the Lord was with them. And maybe today you feel overwhelmed in your circumstances. You feel like you're going to sink, but you won't, because Jesus is with you, as he was with these disciples in the storm. We need not fear when Jesus, who is Lord over all, stands with us. He is able to bring us safely through every trial, for by his Spirit, he is always present with his people and will lead us safely home. So whatever furious storm is frustrating you and frightening you and causing you to be anxious in the world or in your life, You can be confident that the Lord is with you this morning and he is in charge. And all of that is absolutely right and true, brothers and sisters. And I want you to take great comfort from that this morning. But I also want you to make sure that we don't miss this. Because as far as I see it, that is not the central truth of this calming of the storm. Why do I say that? Because Mark tells us that the stilling of this natural storm raised a spiritual storm in the hearts of these disciples, didn't it? They were terrified, we read here, and they're led to ask this question of who is this? And so now, having been through all that they had, they were in awe at who Jesus really is, as they discover that even the winds and the waves obey him, that Jesus is greater than any other. And so you see, friends, Jesus, he leads us into storms, and he still shows us that he is greater than any other storm. Again, in the words of Sinclair Ferguson, every test and every trial, every storm in life is another opportunity for you to see the glory of Jesus Christ and discover his power in your life. The Lord Jesus takes us through everything we go through that we might see him more clearly, that we might trust him more than we did before, that we might be more confident of his power and his lordship over all things, that we might view him more highly than we ever have. And so this account speaks to all of us this morning as Jesus asks us, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? This question of Jesus shows us that the doubting question of the disciples of whether Jesus really cared, it was coming from the wrong place. They had no reason to panic because Jesus does care and he does allow those he loves to sometimes go through storms. Yes, he lets that happen. He lets us go through things we don't always understand. But because he is God, and this is so important, then he has to be great enough to have reasons for us to go through those things that we can't understand. Because if his power has no limit, then neither does his love, and neither does his wisdom. And yet, though we don't understand it, it reminds us that since he is God, the only place we will find rest for our souls this morning is in him and in his will. As the storms and changing scenes of life draw us closer to our Lord and God, full of awe, full of wonder, that one day he will return and still every storm for all eternity. This Jesus, he is our Lord, he is our Savior by faith, and he will bring peace out of chaos in every place, and one day he will do that once and for all as he establishes his eternal kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth, having conquered all the chaos of sin and hell through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. Friends, the cure for our fear this morning is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the Almighty One. He's the King of creation. He's Lord over nature. He's Lord over you and I this morning. Do you believe in him? Do you trust in him? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? This is Jesus. He has authority over nature. And he's greater than any storm and anyone and anything. And so come to him this morning. Believe in him today. Recommit yourself to him and know his power in your life. Know a peace that cannot be reasoned, even when you're going through the depths of trials. Let's do that now together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for these verses that reveal who he is to us. We cannot escape who Jesus is, God in the flesh, who we must all respond to, because this changes everything. We want to know more of Jesus in our lives. Please would you help us to trust you more this week. Forgive us for those times when we lose heart in our circumstances. Help us to keep on trusting in you this week, knowing that you are always with us, even in the storms of trials and difficulties. Would every situation lead us to fix our eyes on Jesus more and to see how great and kind he is for our good and your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.